Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Monday on the status of starting linebackers Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds, both who suffered injuries that forced them out of Sunday's game prematurely against the Jets. He said it doesn't appear that either of them have long-term injuries, as both of them fall into the day-to-day category. Those were his words. Edmonds suffered a shoulder injury. Milano tweaked his hamstring. Both left the game and did not return. The team returns to the practice field on Wednesday, and at that point we should know a little bit more about their status for Sunday's game in Miami. Week one wrapped up last night with two Monday night games. Ben Roethlisberger's return was highlighted by three touchdown passes in the Steelers' 26-16 victory over the Giants. Pittsburgh also limited New York's Saquon Barkley to just 6 yards rushing on 15 carries. In the other game, it was the miscues of Steven Gostkowski that told the tale for most of the night, as the Titans kicker missed three field goals and an extra point, but then hit the game-winning 25-yard field goal to lift Tennessee to a 16-14 win over the Broncos. To the ice one game tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Tampa Bay Lightning look to knock the Islanders out and reach the Stanley Cup Finals. They currently lead their series with the Isles 3-1. Face-off tonight set for 8 p.m. And the winner of that series will face the Dallas Stars, who advanced to the Finals for the first time since 2000. I think we all remember that and the controversy surrounding that one. The Stars punched their ticket to the final on Monday with a 3-2 overtime win in Game 5 of their Western Conference Final Series with the Vegas Golden Knights. One more note from hockey. Peter Laviolette has been named the new coach of the Washington Capitals. The team announced that this morning. Laviolette's deal is believed to be for 3 years. He won a Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes back in 2006. Most recently coached the Nashville Predators, but was fired back in January after 5.5 seasons with the team. That is your sports update from One Bills Drive. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Hour number two of the program. And we are talking with you about the Josh Allen ball-carrying debate. How much is too much? And there are varying degrees of what too much is for several Bills fans out there, which is why we gave you choices at One Bills Live on the Twitter poll today. Is it A, Josh Allen in the run game is a weapon, use it often? B, only if it's a matchup edge with the opponent? C, seldom, one or two design runs a game? D, never, not worth the risk. And leading the poll right now is only if it's a matchup edge with an opponent, getting almost 47% of the vote, Steve. And then after that, it's all gung-ho. In second right now, it's a weapon, use it often, getting a little more than a third of the vote. So people in favor of it, and it's hard to deny, Steve. If it works, you know, yes, there's a risk, but if it works, you got to turn to it. Not all the time, but it's got to be part of the plan.
I say use it when you need it, no matter how many times the game it is.
Yeah, I was in that category too.
You can't play scared, and you know, you got all these, you know, people making comparisons to, you know, all the stuff that football, how violent it is, how brutal it is, you know, and all this stuff. But listen, these guys get paid to play. Everybody's playing. It's a dangerous game for everybody out there. Whoever carries the ball, it's dangerous for. You're not worried about getting Zach Moss or Devin Singletary hurt, and they have just as much opportunity or chance to get hurt as anybody else. So if it works, use it. If it doesn't, don't.
Yeah,
and I don't care how many times a game it is. It's the reason you do is because it's working, and he's not taking hits, and he's getting good yards, and he's running out of bounds, and he's sliding, and he's doing all this other stuff. So that all kind of goes into the mix.
He doesn't slide much. He does get out of bounds. Not a big slider, though.
No, But he did, you know, he did run out of bounds and did avoid some hits this last week, although he took some hits as well, as we all saw. So let him play football. It's the way he plays. He's your quarterback. Use him to his skill set's best advantage.
Yeah.
And if that includes tucking it under his arm and running, so be it.
All right, let's go to the phones at 803-0550, and we lead off this segment with Rob in Buffalo. Rob, what do you have for us on this debate here?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Steve, you're right. I'd like to see it occasionally. He is a weapon. But I think there's a difference here. You have to really consider the difference between a designated run, a designed run, versus Josh running away from pressure when he's already taken a seven-step drop and sees the field and runs. He's gotten better about getting out of bounds. This last game proved it. But when you're in the third quarter, like Milton brought up, you're up 21 to nothing. This has to be situational. That's not a time to take the chance that he's going to take the hit. You've got to be smarter about when he runs the ball.
You got to give me a break here.
I would agree. And here's the other thing we have to take into account too, Rob, and thanks very much for the call. I think we have to take this into account, Steve, in terms of the frequency with which you turn to designed runs for Josh. I think you have to expect probably a half a dozen times a game when the pocket breaks down or Josh maybe takes an extra pat of the football that he's going to naturally roll out, scramble, and extend the play already. So essentially, there are going to be half a dozen pass plays that you call where he might end up tucking and running it anyway. So I think you have to factor that in to the amount of times you want to expose Josh in the running game with the design calls that you make, because I think there's going to be five or six times where he's just going to run it on his own after a pass play breaks down.
Absolutely. Does that count as them using him in the run game?
Well, I'm not saying it counts as them using in the run game, but they should factor it in to how much they want to call designed runs. I mean, if he's getting 30 yards every design run, well, duh, keep running it if the defense is going to be that stupid. But what I'm saying is when you're putting your game plan together and you want to use it as an element in your game and you say, all right, well, you know, probably over the course of the game, I'd like to see him run it 11 times, you know, in the course of this 60-minute game. You got to believe that six of those times are probably going to happen on busted pass plays because that's what he does.
So you're saying...
So say only call five design run plays, gotcha, knowing half dozen times he's probably just going to run on his own just for the way he kind of interprets and feels the game.
All right, let me ask you another layer of this question. Do you think, and I kind of think this, and I've said it a ton of times, I still believe it, and I believe the same thing for Cam Newton. He's a great option on short yardage goal line plays because of the size he is, because he's already got the ball in his hands, because he can run it out of shotgun, out of pistol, from under center, all of that. From wherever you want to snap the ball to him, he's available to get a yard. How much do you factor that into it rather than out in the open field?
Well, I mean, I see what you're saying there.
Because everybody has this, you know, we all kind of automatically think it's going to be, he's going to tuck and he's going to run for these broken, like we've seen him do, you know, run for 25 yards, now run one guy, turn a guy around.
Think about his first start against Miami,
right,
Steve. I mean, he was screwing guys into the ground. I mean, Kiko Alonso is still spinning.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know, but so that's kind of what we picture the running game for the quarterback to look like, you know, just let's go. He tucks it under his arm.
It's not always that
runs
way.
The end sweep into the end zone with, you know.
A convoy.
Yeah. Or is it a quarterback sneak, a la Dallas on Thanksgiving last year? You know, is it
extra effort?
And also that quarterback draw he had where he got it in the pistol, took one step drop, looked down the field, and just called quarterback draw. And that was a really successful play. When you say run Josh Allen, you know, what are we talking about? Are we talking about called runs where it's
probably all of those. It's probably all of the above.
Right. So some of that, a large percentage, like you said, I don't know what the percentage is, half, a third, a quarter, 90% are plays where, okay, just tuck the ball up and let's go. You know, we're going to let you run. We're looking at the Houston playoff game last year where they ran the quarterback sweep and he's trundling, bundling,
fumbling. 40 yards on that play.
40 yards. That's a difference, you know. And then we're watching a quarterback option with Devin Singletary last year in Miami, where he busts loose again and goes for big yards. And goes into the he didn't make his touchdown there.
But the red zone.
It's a huge play.
First goal.
So here's the problem. Every time he runs it, you get huge plays, and then you lose a game because you were reticent to run the thing three more times in the same game.
Yeah.
And then you end up losing the game.
And I mean,
that's the other side of the sword.
Right. And I think you can make the argument. You can make the argument about anything in terms of the risk of injury here. The sneak might be the most dangerous one of them all, right? You're lowering your head. You can get a knee ripped up out in the open field if somebody hits you right with a helmet.
I'll tell you what. It's probably, and it sounds crazy, it's probably not that dangerous because there's no velocity. There's weight and there's power, but there's no velocity. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Out in the field, there's velocity and weight and open field and the inability to brace. And that's where you get hurt, is when you don't know the thing's coming. You get hit from behind or dragged down.
You get labeled, yeah.
So the quarterback sneak, but I will say this, even though I think it's probably percentage-wise safer, it's the least fun to run because you are going to mix it up. And you're going to mix it up with guys who are big and nasty, and they are looking to make you hurt. They want to make you regret that little quarterback sneak. So it's a no fun to run. You may not get a catastrophic injury, but it's going to be zero fun to run that play.
Let's get back to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Open line for you there. We go to – this is Lang in Buffalo. That's the name I'm being shown. Lang, what do you have for us here?
How you doing?
Good.
Thanks, guys, for taking me. My comment is on Josh Allen's running. I think the calls are bad. Not all of them, but keep in mind, everything you've been saying, I agree with. I love when he runs. I love to see him run. He's going to see plays that he just takes off on his own. That's part of his game.
Right.
Okay, I'm okay with that. But, like, we up 21-0, and they were calling more run plays than they were calling for Devin Singletary. And I'm like, wait a minute. Let our running back be a running back.
Yeah.
Back shouldn't be getting more calls called for him than our running back is Singletary nicked up.
Well, here's the
thing. I hear where you're coming from.
Here's the thing,
that.
Lang. Think about it. Devin Singletary had 9 rushes in the game. Zach Moss had 9 rushes in the game, and they got nothing.
Yeah, that was the problem.
That was the problem.
They were running into a stone wall up front. The line couldn't reset the line of scrimmage against the Jets defensive front that was number 2 against the run last year. So I think it was due in part to the lack of success that Moss and Singletary were having at the line of scrimmage because they had safeties and linebackers flying up there and committing to stopping the run. And to a large extent, on regular handoffs, they did that.
Yeah.
Hey, well, can I say something?
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
I've been watching football since I was a young kid. Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Earl Campbell, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, every team they played came in game planning for them. In the first quarters, the first few quarters, they'd have negative yards. It looked like the run game wasn't working. They'd be getting pounded. Then by the end of the game, they'd have over 100 yards. With 9 carries, you can't get the field for the game. You got to let your running back get the field. You got to let your running back deliver some punishment. Okay, they were shutting them down. But if you keep going at them, they're going to start wearing out.
Yeah, and I think maybe Lang's most important point, you're up 21 points. If the running game doesn't work, with the way your defense is playing, who the hell cares? Just keep pounding them and wearing them down. You know what I mean? You're up 3 yeah. scores. So yeah. I will agree with Lang from that standpoint. Yeah, the running game wasn't working, and Josh was the best element of your run game that was, but you're up 3 scores. You can keep pounding it. Now, that might not look all that creative, and it may not be sexy for the fans to watch. But and the reason they probably didn't do that is because it was still the first half.
Yeah,
you know,
a lot of time left.
But if you're late third quarter and you're still up 3 scores, which wasn't the case because the Jets climbed back into it, why not keep pounding it and see what you can get? I mean, you don't want to bang your head into a wall, but at the same time.
And I agree. Lang, that's a great call. You're right. There are times, and that's the old adage where a guy's stronger in the fourth quarter than he is in the first quarter.
It's a little different now. It's a different game now.
It is. It is a little different game. But what that alludes to is the fact that he's not any stronger, but the defense is just gassed. And I remember this. I played for the Houston Oilers, and it was a year, I think the next year, after Earl Campbell was not an Oiler. Maybe it was 2 years after. I think it was the next year after Earl Campbell was not an Oiler. Maybe it was 2 years. I think
84 might have been his last year.
So my first year was 85
for
the Oilers. So the guys in the locker room that I was a rookie with would talk about Earl and the training staff and all those guys. You know, Earl was pretty iconic in that locker room, even though he wasn't there.
A little bit.
Right. So they would say, I remember the guy, he goes, I got to tell you, I watched him play a lot, you know, on the sidelines. And these guys watched Earl Campbell throughout his career, and they said, people just got sick of tackling him during the game. They got sick of it. It got in the third quarter, fourth quarter.
He was a big man.
They had enough. But, you know, Earl Campbell, Jim Brown.
We're talking about big men there.
And all those guys, they just get sick of tackling them. And you're right. Particularly with if you got two backs you can hand it to, and Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, you can keep pounding. But it is a different game now. It's hard to compare that, but there's certainly the point is there to be made. If you want to run the ball that much and you want to hang in there like that, I mean, you look at the guy in Tennessee, Derrick Henry. He got it done last night, 115 yards. Listen, on 30 carries.
Yeah,
that is not ultra productive. That is not sustainable. Now, when your quarterback throws and completes 70% of his balls, that helps. And they did that last night, but they barely escaped. But we'll see. The point is well taken, Lang. I get that. You need to get a guy into the rhythm of the game.
Get him going.
But a lot of time, you can't wait on that to happen.
Yeah.
Now, certainly this is a game where you might have. But, man, oh, man, it's hard to argue with what they were doing offensively. Yeah. They had a 14-play drive. They were dominating. So I get it's easy to, you know, sprinkle a little more sugar on how well they played if they would have done this and that and the other. But it would have – think about how different that game would have been if Josh would not have fumbled twice and he would have hit two other passes in the end zone.
Let's go to Josh, who wants to talk about Josh at 803-0550. Josh in Boston, what do you have for us, sir?
Hey, what's up, man? I've been dying to get on with you guys. Every time I call, I never get on. But, no, I just think that if Allen can sit in the pocket the way he did yesterday and throw the ball, there's no need to really have to draw up plays like that where you're going to risk him getting hurt, you know?
Yeah, listen, you're right. I get you, Josh. If he can complete 72% of his passes like he did on Sunday,
he might not need to run.
Yeah, they may not. You're right.
At every week, though.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening every week either, because they're not going to face a passing defense or a secondary as weak as the one that the Jets put on the field, and they're going to find that out this week with Xavien Howard and Byron Jones playing corner for the Dolphins, along with their top pick, who's playing in the slot, in Igbinoghene.
Right.
So there's going to be three guys that they're going to be able to put out there, so that run game better work this week.
Definitely. It just really didn't try to get the running game going last game because the passing game was just going so well. So it's like, why? But I just think that having him run that play when we were up 21-0 and risking him getting hurt, it just wasn't smart. But, I mean, you can't take it away from his game. Obviously, that's what makes Josh Allen who he is. But if he can throw like that all season, I think you try to limit it as much as you can, because – he already scrambles a lot when the play breaks down, so you just you don't want to get a concussion, especially with the way the protocols are these days. It's just not worth it, and I don't think anybody – I mean, not that Matt Barkley's not the worst. I mean, he's not the best, but, I mean, you just don't want to get him out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to keep your guy healthy, and thanks for the call, Josh. That's good stuff. And you're right. Right now, I mean, this is a nice place to be in. If you're a Bills fan, you're talking about, did he do too many good things for Josh? You know, certainly he made a couple of mistakes.
It's a good dilemma.
Yeah, they were his mistakes. The two fumbles were his mistakes. But even aside from that, you don't want to see him getting chopped down like he did the other day either, where guys are coming in, taking him out at the thighs, trying to get him off his feet because, you know, they can't go high on a guy anymore. So it is a risk, but it's also something, and I get the point where people say don't give it to him because, like you said, a large percent of his pass plays, he's going to avoid rush, he's going to pull it down and just run with it, and that's going to be enough of a threat rather than just drawing up plays.
It seems a good portion of the callers we've had today have an issue with the time and score of the game near the end of the first half when they're in the red zone and they call another design run for Josh and he fumbles the ball when he gets upended. Do you think that is a bone of contention because of how that play ended, purely because of how that play ended with points being taken off the board because he's running and he fumbled? Or do you think people are more concerned with that play because they watched Josh go head over heels and worry about him getting hurt?
No,
which
I
of the two do you think it is?
I think it's the result. I think it's the fumble.
Okay.
That play goes for
because that's the play that everybody's talking about right now. Why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? It's too much.
That play is completely forgotten. If he ends up on the ground there, they go out, kick a field goal on the next play, and they're off the field.
Nobody talks about it.
That's totally forgotten.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we come back, we'll hear from Coach McDermott, who talked about this very subject and the balance that he and the offensive staff feel they have to strike because, as we know, Coach McDermott has some experience with this, having been around some other mobile quarterbacks in his time in the league. We'll get to that when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Second half of the program underway here on One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, broadcasting live from the Seneca Studios in Orchard Park. And we do want to get back to the phones real quick here at 803-0550 as we check in with Joe in Hamburg as we are discussing the Josh Allen ball-carrying debate. Joe, where do you come down on this one?
Yeah, you know, to me, it's all about what the defense gives you, right? And I think what happens with Dable there, he gets what the defense, whatever the defense is going to give him, he's going to take. If they can't stop Josh, he's going to keep doing it. And I think there's so much that you could play off of that in terms of being able to fake in the future, one of those plays that he's been gouging you with and hit big plays off of that. I just think that it's going to be extremely difficult for defenses to catch up to that, and our offensive coordinator is smart enough to know when to change it up, if you will, and put some of those fakes off of the plays that work.
Yeah, that's all valid, Joe, and thanks for the call. I will say this, Steve. The inherent benefit is you're a man up. You're a man up in the blocking scheme. I mean,
right.
He's the extra guy. And so now he makes, now you have to commit an extra person to him, whether it's a spy. And I saw that Coach Flores for the Dolphins was asked yesterday, how much did you spy Cam? And he basically said, we only spied him a handful of times. But in light of the success that Cam had, I'd be inclined to think they're going to spy Josh a whole lot more than they did Cam this past week, don't you?
Yeah, don't forget. Cam Newton, and all this stuff's going on about, hey, Cam Newton, they ran the ball. It was great. He ran it 15 times. Josh ran it 14.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm saying as far as the Dolphins' approach, knowing the success that Cam had against them, especially running for two touchdowns.
Right.
They're going to have to deploy the spy a little bit more, I would tend to think, on Josh this week than they did on Cam last week.
Yeah.
That's just me.
But I get it. They're going to have to do something. Well, they're going to have to play better.
Well, that too.
And the play, but. Believe me, they think about where the Dolphins were going into week one. It's night and day where they're at in week two for this reason. Week one, Bill Belichick with Cam Newton as his quarterback, not Tom Brady, with four new starters on defense, with all these new parts, you have no idea what the New England Patriots are going to look like in week one. That is the ultimate, who are these guys moment for the Dolphins. They had to do that.
Our MSG viewers are watching the first touchdown. I mean, it's a walk-in from like 11 yards.
That's right.
The second one was a little closer by the pylon, but the first one, I mean, nobody was near him. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I gotta believe they're going to deploy a spy more often. especially when they go back and look at the tape of Josh Allen in past years against that Dolphins defense where he's screwing people into the ground. See, they're going to spy him.
That's the difference. They know what Josh Allen has done against them. They know what the Bills coaching staff thought about them last year in the two games they played because they had plenty of time to look at him in the two games, or at least in, particularly in the second game, obviously. Yeah. They knew what they were getting from the Bills, and I think they have a much better handle on what Buffalo's going to hand them in week two than they would have in New England on week one. So they're going to be better prepared for the Buffalo Bills offense in week two than they ever could have been in week one for the New England Patriots in this year's edition. So don't expect the Dolphins to, like, be running around circles around their desks, you know, going, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They got a plan. They've seen this movie before. Last week was a premiere of a new movie that they had never seen. So they're going to be better this week against Buffalo defensively than they were last week against the Patriots, just because of the continuity that Buffalo brings to the table.
We do want to mention, before we get to the Coach McDermott sound, that Pepsi is running a promotion with Thurman Thomas in the Buffalo market over the next few weeks. They have teamed up this Bills season to surprise a few lucky fans with an unbelievable home tailgate experience. So if you're doing your tailgates at home, which most of us are these days, head to madeforbillswatching.com to enter for your chance to score a visit at your home tailgate from the one, the only Hall of Famer, Thurman Thomas. So
I was texting with Thurm today.
I thought they should have made it watchingwithsquatty.com. That should have been the website, right?
I got to write
Instead
that down.
Instead of madeforbillswatching.com?
I got to text him that. That's a good one. Watching with Squatty. Yeah, I was telling, we're trying to get together to play some golf again. But, yeah, Thurm is way in it. That's going to be fun. That'll be fun for whoever. Because I'll tell you what, Thurm is one of the all-time great guys. Close friend of mine, great family. And, yeah, that'll be a blast. I wish I could enter that contest.
Well,
I'd like to do that.
And Thurman's not shy about saying stuff that he's watching during the game. Like, he can get pretty excited.
He is unfiltered.
Watching games.
He is unfiltered.
Yes,
to say the least.
So there's entertainment value.
He's part of that Five Presidents text loop that I'm on with those guys.
Oh my gosh!
I was laughing at last year. It was the funniest. It was the funniest thing that ever happened because Thurman was on the text loop as well. We're on MSG. We're watching all this stuff with Thurman. This commercial with Pepsi. That's a good deal. But last year, Thanksgiving, the Bills are playing the Cowboys. They're playing good. Josh picks up that first down on the fourth down, you know, the quarterback sneak, all of that stuff. And all those guys are texting like, I mean, the things went deep, 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 deep. You know how it is when you get it. Right, okay, it drives you crazy. So these guys are all texting, and it's just like they're, yeah, whoop, yeah. And then midway through the fourth quarter, it is incoherent. They are all wind up. I mean, they've been drinking, they've been eating, listening. You can't even understand what they're trying to type.
They
anymore.
Can't type.
They can't type. They are all so fat and happy.
It's pretty
at that
bad
Thanksgiving game.
It's pretty bad when
it
you're
was
slurring your texts.
Right?
That's pretty bad.
I mean, they couldn't even get to the meme page, right? They couldn't even send pictures. I mean, they couldn't even get there. It was all of them. They were like, wah, wah.
"I should take that public."
Oh
that
my
god,
it was so hilarious.
Good.
Oh my gosh, I was giving them trouble too because it was great. I mean, my kudos to Thurm for doing that.
It should be fun for some
whoever
lucky
wins
fans.
Whoever wins that, I'm telling you, it's a once in a lifetime.
So we wanted to get to Coach McDermott's comments because we've been talking about this Josh Allen debate and carrying the football, and we'll get to those comments in just a second. We want to highlight some of the more important things that Coach addressed in his press conference with the Western New York media on Monday. We do want to lead off with his take on the right side of the offensive line, which was a secret. For lack of a better term, for most of training camp, because the media couldn't report it, and it was unveiled on Sunday, the right side of the offensive line with John Feliciano still on IR was Cody Ford at right guard and Darrell Williams at right tackle. And so Coach was asked for his thoughts on how those two guys performed in their first game together.
Yeah, I thought they were solid. I thought Darrell Williams played a really good game and good addition to our team. He worked extremely hard. I love how he finished finished plays and finished blocks, played to the echo of the whistle. Cody, it looked like they had good symmetry over there. You know, a lot of good things on that side. And like I said before, some good things up front, some things we certainly have to work on. I was proud of the way, though, that they came out and were ready to go.
And, you know, I think Coach made it very clear that despite the victory, he had a long list of things that he was writing down after the game that he wants his team to work on when they hit the practice field on Wednesday. We know that the way he and his staff operates, it's not just about the game plan for that given week. He is going to build time into his practices for fundamentals. He does it every single week. Right. And it will be no different this week.
So. Absolutely. And it's because that's the only way you get better. You got to go back and clean up what you did fundamentally. Forget about plays and whether, you know, the guy was outside shade or inside shade. Well, where did you step first and what is your responsibility? Get there and do that first, and then all the details come later. But the details never crush you if your fundamentals are sound. The details come easier for you and go in your favor when you're fundamentally sound. You're always in a better position to get those details and do the small things that help you win when you're fundamentally sound. And that's by doing the fundamentals every week without fail, they become ingrained, and then you can build on those. And then the details that used to give you wins and losses and cost you become part of those fundamentals, because that's how much you've built up to that point.
And one of those fundamentals is ball security. So here's Coach McDermott talking about Josh Allen's fumbles in the game on Sunday.
As he said after the game, he's got to do a better job. And I don't think there's any other way to skin it. You know, it's we can't give the ball away. The ball is has an unbelievable ability to become the great equalizer. We were dominating that game in a lot of ways, as you saw, Adam, and we put the ball on the ground, and then all of a sudden, we face some adversity. We can learn, and we need to learn from that, and before it comes back to haunt us here. So that's one of the many things, Adam, honestly, that we have to work on this week.
So there it is, and no surprise. And Josh, to his credit, was very, very much on that part of his game when the game was over. He's in his post-game interview on Sunday saying, I can't put the ball on the ground and blah, blah, blah. I've got to clean that up. So as we've said many times on this show before, Steve, Josh Allen might be one of the most self-aware quarterbacks we've ever been around. And yeah, it was evident again on Sunday after the game.
It's one thing, as we saw him fumble twice, but it's one thing to get stripped like he did on the first run. You're playing against guys that are on scholarship too. I mean, they're good too. So they're going to get you once in a while, punch the ball out, strip it loose, because they're playing football too, and that happens. But the second one where you got the ball out away from your body and just comes out of your hand, that's on you. That can't happen. And that's something that you can work on. That's something that you can fix. And, it's nobody else's fault. There's just no other way to slice it.
And he had 14 fumbles last year. Fortunately for the Bills, he only lost 4 of them.
Right.
That's all luck.
It's all luck.
That's all luck that they only lost 4 out of 14.
14 is
too many.
Is huge. That's a huge number. And that is... that loses a ton of games for you if you lose. If you lose half of those, forget about half of half. If you lose half of those fumbles, you lose 3 more games. Literally. And this is a team, particularly last year, they were in tight game. They didn't score very many points. They weren't winning games going away like they did on Sunday when they didn't play well and still won by double digits. Last year they were in really close games, and those fumbles and fumbles like these, in one hand you say, wow, it's good that they happened in a game where there was no way they were going to lose, because now you can say, you can get that message through again, and it's a reminder. And now he's got that, and maybe it'll be higher on his priority list going forward. But man, oh man, you got to fix that. Yeah. You got to fix that.
All right, we have to take a break, but when we return, more of your phone calls, more from the Bills coordinators. We'll hear from Brian Daboll about the very topic we've been discussing today, Josh Allen in the run game. We'll get his take on that. And we'll also get Leslie Frazier's take on what a problem it is when you're facing a mobile quarterback who has plays designed for him to run with the football. That and much more coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Stephon Diggs, 8 receptions against the Jets, was a new personal high in a season opener for him. He did have 7 previously, once in 2016 and in the 2017 opener. Diggs now has a reception in all 71 games of his NFL career. And New York Lotto inside the numbers. Take a break from the expected. Play scratch-off games from the New York Lottery. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown with you as we are closing up the second hour of the show. And we do want to get back to the phones at 803-0550 as we are asking you how much is too much for Josh Allen carrying the football. And we go all the way out to the West Coast where Harry is hopefully able to breathe air that does not involve forest fire smoke. Harry, thanks for joining the show. What do you have for us?
Well, I just want to say you're talking to a 90-year-old senile old man, so be careful.
That's all right. You're talking to a 58-year-old senile man, so be gentle. Go ahead, Harry.
Well, I've been a Bills fan since 1946. I want you to know that I think, you know, like in pitching, they allow a guy 121 pitches, you know, or 120 pitches. We got a gem here. We can't treat him like just another guy. And I think the body can only take so much pounding. And he's already 23, which means he's been in the league 2-3 years now. All I'm basically saying is you got a gem here. You better be careful. He doesn't turn out to be another run-of-the-mill, because I remember Joe Ferguson, and that poor guy, he fought in the trenches for a long time with nobody in front of him.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the most useless feeling in the world. It's got to be.
So are you saying you want to put Josh on a pitch count with the runs?
I do. In a sense, I want to do the same thing to his body as they do with a pitch count. You know, he can only take so much punishment, and only under how many blitzing linebackers can he avoid? These are big guys hitting him. He's a big guy. But, you're vulnerable. You're running with a ball in your hand trying to protect the ball. You have no way of fighting back, and that can only go on so long. So you want to pick your moments really carefully about how you use this guy.
Yeah, and Harry, that's a good call, and you're right. And I think it – that
– Stay safe out there.
Yeah, stay safe out there, and just turn your lawn sprinkler on.
Well, you're so right. But you know what? I'm in a senior home. They couldn't afford to let me out anywhere.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, they must have found out you're a Bills fan. So I get it. He's right. And it's a great
– he's kind of saying what I was saying, Steve. Yeah. Like, you know that when the play breaks down on a pass play, Josh is going to run probably half a dozen times a game.
It counts as a run.
I think you factor that into how much you're going to use him in design runs.
Here's the thing, though. When you do that as a quarterback, when he quarterback runs and stuff, that almost counts as a non-play, because there's no reason, no excuse, I would say. There's no excuse for him taking a hit of any kind on that play. He should not take any hit on a play where he scrambles out of the pocket, has room, goes down, because he should slide every single time. That's got to be part of it. That should be part of the message you teach him about the run game he's going to be involved in. So, for instance, like last week, before he fumbled that second ball when it just flew out of his hands, said, Josh, we were going to call a quarterback run right here, but because you're coughing it up, we're going to give the ball to somebody else, right?
I don't know if you're going to do that.
But here's the thing. And don't think he doesn't do this either. If Daboll doesn't say, hey, we're going to run sprint right, quarterback keeper off, behind, Deion Dawkins, whatever. We're going to run this sweep with you off the left side. Don't fumble the ball. Or just give him a heads up, say, hey, don't remember. You got to protect the ball on this. We wind up that kind of thing. You know that's going on. That's what coaches do. They're forever in your saying, hey, don't forget. That's part of the equation too. But for Harry, our California caller, he's right. Josh is not going to be your bell cow running back.
Yeah. Here's the difference, though. Okay. Josh fights for extra yardage. I think he has been more disciplined in getting out of bounds when he can to avoid hits.
He's better.
Kyler Murray, as you've mentioned, is a much smaller statured quarterback. He ran 13 times for 91 yards last week.
Never got hit.
He slid, went out of bounds, or scored on 12 of his 13 runs. So you have to recognize who you are as a player, too. Like, I think Josh feels, hey, I'm 6'5", 245. If I take a hit, I'll be all right. But it's a dangerous game sometimes. All right, we have to take a break. But when we return, we'll be back with a Hall of Famer. One James Lofton, who called the Bills-Jets Week 1 game with Andrew Catalan on CBS Sports, will be joining us when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.